Young players have started their daily workouts today at the Golden 1 Center. So who do we have here? We have Colby Jones, Jordan Ford, Keon Ellis. And is that Petrusev?
No, that's not him. I'm not sure who that is over there. They look like they got somebody new out there.
Huh. All right. So, yeah.
Oh, no. That is Petrusev.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. His hair is growing out a little bit, you know. he hasn't found a barber in Sacramento yet, but that's him. Yeah, I was like, my eyes are bad, dude. My gosh. Yeah, that's him.
And so it's the first and second years, right? Got to get out there and work out a little bit before the game.
What's so funny, I'm looking up at the Jumbotron earlier, and I saw a picture of Keon Ellis and Jordan Ford. And then it was said, opening night or home opener. And I was like, the Kings already played. I forget those are Stockton Kings players. Like,
oh, yeah,
we've seen them play for the big club here, and Keon obviously contributing to the big club. I forget that they were supposed to be, you know, main pieces for the Stockton Kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kings get ready to take on, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers, a real challenge. The Cavs, they just beat up the Warriors a couple nights ago in San Francisco. But it was last November, a year ago November, the Kings, they beat Cleveland when Cleveland made their annual visit here, and then that started a seven-game winning streak.
Yes.
The Kings, of course, have a two-game winning streak going now. We'll see if they can stretch it tonight, and hopefully De'Aaron Fox is back in the lineup tonight. So already, I mean, the season just started. It's already been up and down like a crazy roller coaster.
Yeah, it has been, and, you know, people have hit the panic button. People have, you know, I remember when they beat Utah. I said, oh, this team, they're legit. They're good. When they lost to Golden State, oh, they'll be just fine. No De'Aaron Fox, man, they showed me something. Then they lose to Houston, and we're looking at the trade deadline. We're like, all right, who do they need to – is OG the answer? Zach LaVine? It's like we've been all over the map, and we're only 2 weeks into the season.
Like, yes, but you know that was legit because even the truly great G-Man stood right here the first game after those Houston losses, and he said, I'm concerned. It was Gary Gerald said that.
Right,
so that was those were legitimate concerns, or at least they seemed to be at the time.
Think about it, though. If you're – Monty McNair, if you're Mike Brown, you're NBA vets, you've been around, you can't ride the roller coaster us media and fans ride. I mean, think about that. That can't be a way to do your job if you're Monty McNair. After two losses in Houston, oh, forget this. I'm going to make some moves. Like, you got to let it play out. You got to let it play out. And now if you're still having issues in November, December, okay, I get it, but you can't ride the wave after just two games.
No, and I think part of the reason the Kings seem to be struggling in so many areas, even though right now, you know, I think they'll take where they are, given that Fox has been out, is that Mike Brown keeps telling us, he says, this may cost us a little bit offensively in the short term, but I know we can make shots, but we're going to have to be a defensive-minded team if we're going to advance in the playoffs, if we're going to be as good as I know we can be. And so far, short sample size, small sample size, I know, but they actually are right now, I think I woke up today and checked, were they 14th in defensive rating, which
that's
is
crazy.
That is.
Like after
the
two
Kings.
Years.
We've been saying all year, oh, if they could just get to 15th this year, that would be tremendous and a long ways to go. But so far, wow, they're making strides.
You know, and if I'm Mike Brown, I'm encouraged by what I saw, because remember after the Houston games, we were saying, man, I don't know if they can play both ends the way they want to. Mike Brown's asking them to be so great defensively, but they may be sacrificing offensively. And so maybe that's not the case anymore. And we said it earlier. They don't have to be the bad boy Pistons and lock you down like that or any, but they just got to be serviceable. And I thought,
you got to feel them. They got to make you feel them.
And I thought what we saw the other night against OKC was sort of the blueprint for this team. You know, one thing the Kings can do, they may not be able to hold teams to, let's say, 88, 90 points, but they should be able to force turnovers, Whitey. They have the personnel to be feisty in that regard, force a lot of turnovers. And I thought that's what they did the other night against Oklahoma City. I'm pulling up the box score right here. 18 turnovers for the Kings, 16 for Oklahoma City, 23 off of that. And so Mike Brown wants to play fast. one way to play fast, turn you over, and then get out in transition. And they did that against Oklahoma City.
Yes. Not to be Donnie Downer, but the turnover numbers for the Kings last two games have been way too high.
Right.
Way too high. And maybe a lot of that is because you're without De'Aaron Fox, so you're having to do things you don't normally have to do. But that the Kings have to bring down their turnover numbers starting tonight.
Yeah, 18 last game. And what was it against Portland? Like 21 or so. It was something crazy against Portland.
Domas has been turning the ball over a lot. I mean, he's been playing great, but he's been turning the ball over a lot.
Yeah, what did he have? 7-2 games ago, I think? And five?
Five last night. Last game.
Yeah, last game.
Night, yeah.
Yeah, he has to be better. But, you know, it goes back to, we've had this conversation, you know, about the Warriors. When you play that style offensively, inherently, should you expect some turnovers?
Some, but, you know, they've been doing such a good job that they went from one extreme, like, wow, this is great, to, no, that's terrible. But, again, figuring it all out. This, again, and I said this after, you know, I said this before the game Friday, this would be a very significant win tonight against the Cavaliers.
I think so, because when you look at it, you know, Cleveland was a top four team in the Eastern Conference a season ago. They finished fourth in the Eastern Conference standings. They're expected to be there again. This is a tough, hard-nosed team with some star power, obviously. And so to get a win against Oklahoma City, a win against Cleveland, that would be huge. And then you embark, I think, what, on a six-game road trip coming up here beginning Wednesday in L.A.? And so, no, to see this team rebound and maybe be 5-4 with De'Aaron Fox having missed at least five of those, I think we'd take that.
Do you get a sense that their identity is changing a little bit? I think the identity, more importantly than how we perceive them, it's how they perceive themselves night to night and what they embrace in terms of what they need to do. Is it changing at all?
After tonight.
Yeah?
Because I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, they're figuring it out now, and then they lay an egg tonight or something like we have like a Houston kind of showing. And so I think these are games starting tonight, obviously. You know, Cleveland, they're not a sexy team. Sure, Donovan Mitchell's a big name, but it's not like you're facing the Lakers, Warriors, even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know. And so one of the things that I want to see from this Kings team is you don't feel good and feel like you've accomplished anything after a couple of wins. I still want to see them be hungry, stay poor hungry and driven. So they have to come out the same way we saw them the last two games. And so the question you ask me, you know, I think their identity should be a tough, hard-nosed defensive team that can light you up in scoring. And especially we saw it the other night when the three-point shots didn't fall, they still were able to win games and get points. But I want to see it tonight. Like, I think it takes more than two games for an identity to show itself.
I think it's going to be tough for this team as currently constituted to become a consistently upper half defensive team. I mean, that's great. I just don't think they have
the
individual defenders.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they're going to be terrible. Again, as we've said, if they're anywhere near, you know, mid-pack, I think, for this team, that would be a huge accomplishment. Unless and until Monty McNair went out and got somebody that would improve in that area, I don't think it's fair to expect. I'm not saying they should do that, because if they just do defend like the way they've been defending and they start shooting the ball at a semi-reasonable rate based on what we saw last year, I think you're going to start piling up wins. But again, the mystery has been, how come they can't score? How come they can't shoot?
Yeah, and I would argue, you know, when you talk about that, it's like for them to be 4-4 with their shooting being, you know, as bad as it has been this season. I got the numbers right here, Whitey. When you look at this Sacramento Kings offense, they're 28th in overall field goal percentage, 27th in three-point percentage, you know, and so when
that's
you
just look, dreadful. That's there's no
dreadful,
way around it.
Right?
It's dreadful.
This team, but yet here they are, 4-4,
yes.
You know, and you look at the Western Conference, they're ahead of, you know, the Clippers
uh-huh.
and all these other teams we thought that would be great. And so, you know what? I actually think the Kings are in a good spot right now. You know, it could have been a whole lot worse based on the shooting numbers, the De'Aaron Fox injury. You know, we're 4-4. 3-5 could have been very much possible.
Yeah, they've gone a long ways towards making us forget about those two Houston losses.
Yeah.
But again, so has Houston. The fact that they are beating the socks off every team they face these days makes those two losses they don't sting quite as much as they did at the time. I know you were very unhappy when you got home from Houston.
It was an awful trip. And Houston's a great city. But I didn't even enjoy the golf was terrible. I played the basketball was terrible.
It's not funny, but we understand.
You know, I went to the same restaurant two nights in a row. Like, you're not supposed to do that when you're on the road. I know that's first world problems, but you're supposed to venture out, explore the city. I stayed in the hotel all weekend long. That was a wasted trip for me, man. It was a wasted trip for the Kings, too. They got shellacked.
Uh-huh. And yet they've kind of crawled out from under that mess. Do you like the back-to-back same teams? The Warriors have one now.
Well,
they just played Minnesota. They got to play them again. The Kings had the Houston ones.
There's some factors in this, Whitey. If it's back-to-back against Detroit in Detroit, not so much. If it's two in a row against Miami or L.A., in Miami, I love it. Adam Silver, great job. And so Houston was, it was okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think what we saw in that Houston series, though, that quick two-game series, it was like, what are you going to do if you're Sacramento? Like, there were no adjustments made. Everything was the same. And so when you get your butt kicked like that, you want to see a different team. You're like, all right, I can't wait to get out of Houston fast enough, and that's what it felt like us.
We're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to be right back here to the Golden One Center. Can the Kings go 3-3 without their best player? Will they even have to? That's next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Chat, Amadrock says, I'd like to see Sabonis clean up his free throws. Okay, fair enough. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Or you can comment here on the chat or shoot us a text. If Mike Brown asked you to speak to the Kings tonight, and just tell the Kings one thing you'd like to see from them tonight. Maybe an area of improvement, maybe additional or continued emphasis on an area. What do you got? Again, we're not looking for complaints necessarily, but that's fine. Whatever you got. If you were talking to the Kings tonight, hey, guys, here's what I'd like to see from you tonight. What do you got? What would you say?
I think the key to tonight is going to be stopping dribble penetration with that backcourt. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, two of the best at getting into the paint. And, you know, if I'm the Kings, I'm okay with Donovan Mitchell shooting threes. Not wide open ones, but if he's settling for threes, I think that helps the defense out. I think that has to be at the top. And then also securing the defensive rebound.
Yes.
You know, don't let Mobley and Jared Allen and those guys get second opportunities. You know, in terms of style of play, guys, same thing we did the last two games. That's how we play. But in terms of a scouting report, I'm trying to keep Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland out of the paint.
Yeah, I think my one thing would be, guys, just you got to rebound as like a five-member organism. Everybody, gang rebound. Yeah. Everybody rebounds tonight. It's not a matter of who's boxing out who or who's that. Your guy got the rebound. Everybody gang rebounding tonight. And then when you get it, you got to get out and run and punish them every time you get a defensive rebound.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talked about Cleveland, and they're not a great three-point shooting team. 26 in the NBA, 32.6%. And so they have guys that can hit them. Max Strus can make some threes. He can get hot.
And he's not shooting great this year. You're right.
Right.
But this year so far, not great.
Not shooting great. Exactly. And so I think trying to limit the points in the paint, I think that's huge. They're ninth in the NBA in points in the paint at 52 points per game.
Jess says, I need Davion to live up to his nickname.
Off night.
Yeah.
You know, him and Donovan Mitchell are close, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When Davion got drafted, one of the people he reached out to was Donovan Mitchell. And so they're close, and they've got some history. And, you know, one of Davion's best games as a rookie came against Donovan Mitchell when Donovan was with the Utah Jazz. And so it'll be interesting to see that matchup. What's going on with Davion defensively, actually? Because when I look at him play, I think he's playing really hard and trying really hard, but he's not getting the results. I think at times he's so bent on, you know, stopping the other player that, you know, he'll overcommit. And, you know, let's say I'm driving right, he'll try and cut me off too far right, then I can go left. Like, it's he needs to get back to playing solid positional defense. And
yeah,
it'll be a test tonight. They're going to need him tonight.
I thought Friday was, and he knows it, as Boach would say, and he knows it. But it was a lost opportunity. Davion, Friday night for him was a lost opportunity because he played so well the previous game, right? And then he's not able to follow up because he was 1-for-6. They got the win. That's great. But the Kings could really stand to see Davion get some traction here and consistently shoot the ball well.
Yeah, and I think what was concerning for me about that the other night in that win against OKC regarding Davion, what he did so well against Portland was his ability to drive and get into the paint. He was very decisive with that. I didn't see that the other night against Oklahoma City. He was very aggressive in that Portland game. And I'm not just talking about shooting threes. Like I said, he has to touch the paint. And I thought at times, you know what, he sort of didn't do that. Like, he sort of resorted back to his old way. And so we'll see tonight, man. Isn't it crazy? Like, before the season started, there was no talk of Keon Ellis taking Davion's spot. Now, if you're Mike Brown, you really got to look at it once De'Aaron Fox comes back.
Yeah, you're not going to believe me, but I did make a Keon Ellis prediction in the offseason. It was something like he's going to play 30 games. I don't remember what it was.
One of your bold predictions?
Yes. Like, but I did not say that he was going to supplant Davion Mitchell in the rotation.
Let's keep it real, Whitey, when it comes to bold predictions.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they're ones you really don't think is going. Like, you got to go. It has to be, like, super bold. It can't be, Malik Monk is going to win sixth man of the year. Like, I can see that happening.
Uh-huh.
But, like, when you say Keon Ellis is going to play 30 games, you're saying that, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth and thoughts in your head, but to me, you're saying that so people can be like, this dude's crazy. There's no way that's going to happen. You wouldn't do something like that.
No. You predict something. You put your name on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You really believe that.
Yeah, but now I can't remember what it was, but it was something about Keon Ellis.
Okay.
I've always liked him, and I always figured, man, he can defend.
Right.
Mike Brown's going to find a spot for him if he can just knock down a few shots. So here he is. We'll see where he factors into things tonight, because it appears all signs seem to indicate that De'Aaron Fox is back tonight. He's been upgraded, Kyle, you said, from doubtful to questionable.
Yes, and I think this is a big matchup because him and Donovan Mitchell, they got history. Obviously, De'Aaron played at Kentucky. Mitchell played at Louisville. And so these two have a rivalry that dates back. And so if he's back out there, I'm excited to see that matchup. And what's so crazy is when you watch this Kings team play, they're a good team. We've saw them two big wins the other last two games. But De'Aaron Fox is special. He turns Sacramento into, a play-in team, into a Western Conference contender. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, if Steph Curry's out for the Warriors, like, he's so a big part of what they do that when he's out, you really miss him. And when he's back, it's like, man, they can be so special. So I'm looking to see how he does tonight.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is that Imani Bates right there?
I think it is, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Chris Watkins' favorite player of all time.
Yes. Warming up.
When he's so skinny. When I first saw him, we were talking here, and I wasn't really paying attention. I thought it was like a high schooler or somebody just wandered out there, Sometimes
they let him
on the court. Oh, no, wait, that's a guy.
I do believe that's him, and he slid in the draft big time. But he has tremendous upside.
He is very thin.
Very thin.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So it looks like De'Aaron Fox plays tonight, we think. Do we know anything more? Not to put you on the spot again.
You always put me on the spot.
I know,
man.
But you're the guy with the team. Trey Lyles. We have any information on Trey Lyles? Strained calf. Looks like he's still going to be out a while.
Yeah. Still. And that's crazy, right? Like, how long was Joe Burrow out with his calf situation? Yeah.
He missed a few weeks, then he started playing football.
Right,
yeah.
But he still looked immobile. And basketball is totally different. Mm-hmm. Like, basketball, you actually spend most of the time running.
Right.
So, this is sort of concerning. Not that it's going to be long-term, but I don't think anybody expected Trey to miss the first 2 weeks of the season going on 3 weeks. And you talk about another guy that can knock down shots, defend. And so, this Kings team, remember before the season, it was all about, wait till they got an injury, see what happens. Well, they're dealing with something to start this year, and so far they've done a great job, I think.
You know, I keep mentioning this. It's too bad people don't get to see what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Because there's four ways to improve your team, right? There's trades, there's a draft, there's free agency, and then there's what we're seeing out here, which is player development.
Right.
That's an area that Kings fans know, longtime Kings fans know. The Kings have been deficient in that area
for a long time.
And now it's an area of emphasis once again. But it's one of the reasons a franchise like San Antonio, you go back to when they drafted Kawhi Leonard, and it's like, wow, how did they know that Kawhi Leonard was going to be that good? Well, maybe they didn't, but they were great at getting the best out of players like that. And that's where the Kings, there's a lot of room for them as an organization to continue to grow in that area. We happen to right now be seeing it before our very
Yes, time. And fit is so important, not just on the floor, but in terms of organization. And I agree with you. Kawhi Leonard, to me, doesn't become Kawhi if he doesn't go to San Antonio.
Yeah.
You know, he, if I'm correct, got drafted by the Pacers and then traded.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And so if he goes to Indiana, maybe he doesn't become that guy. You know, I look at a guy like Markelle Fultz with Philadelphia. If he goes somewhere else and doesn't go into that ecosystem, maybe he becomes a much different player. And so one thing about the Kings, you know, and like you said, they've had issues developing players over the years. I don't see that as an issue anymore. Like what Mike Brown has going on with Monty McNair, I'll tell you. I'll let you guys know behind the curtain a little bit. It was a couple of years ago. I was talking to a staffer. This was after the season, and they were like, Kyle, you won't believe what kind of blank show, SH show it is.
We got you.
I know. You're like, Drapes, we don't want to get knocked off. I don't want no FCC violations. You don't have to spell it. But that's what they say. You don't believe what kind of it is. And so I haven't heard any of that these last couple of years under Mike Brown.
Well, you just look at the recent draft picks that he's made, and you go back even to, you know, Tyrese was a great pick, and he's not here, but he netted them Sabonis. That's a great pick. And Davion, there's still some question marks, but you understand why they picked him, and he's still got tremendous upside, of course. And, you know, De'Aaron Fox was a previous regime, but that's worked out. So they do have a handful of homegrown players here, and hopefully Colby Jones, I think there's a lot of indications that he can step into a role where he's a contributor.
Yeah.
So they've made, you know, Kyle, longtime Kings fans, you can sit around and just start trading names of failed draft picks from the distant past.
They've had a million of
distant past, yeah. And so it's refreshing to see, and it's one of the keys to the fact that they appear to be turning this whole thing around and headed in the right direction now.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And when you look at Monty McNair's draft record, you know, he's hit on Keegan Murray. Tyrese is an all-star.
Yeah, I didn't mention Keegan. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Keegan Murray. Yeah. You know, and so Davion, the jury's still out. Colby Jones, I think you'll see him a lot in Stockton because I think he needs to play. Like, this isn't a guy you just have as your 13th man just sitting on the pine. He has to get minutes somewhere. And so, you know, I think he's done a great job so far, man.
Yeah, and it's especially important for small market teams because the free agency and the trades – you know, you're behind the eight ball when you're in a smaller place where not a lot of the big stars necessarily want to go.
Yeah, exactly. And we're seeing that with Zion, right? Like, that's why it's so important for the Pelicans to make sure it works out with Zion. Same thing with Sacramento. You got to make sure you hit on Keegan Murray. You got to make sure you hit on some of these top draft picks because you're not going to get free agents going there.
Coming up next, Fox 40's Sean Cunningham on De'Aaron Fox's potential return tonight. Sean was at Shoot Around today. He also had an interesting conversation with Sasha about the follow-through. So we'll find out what's going on as far as Sasha is concerned with the bow and arrow follow-through. Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, joining us next here from the Golden One. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown. At the Golden One Center, Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper getting ready for the Kings and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we got a very special guest joining us, sports reporter and producer KTXL Fox 40, the house that Jim Crandall built. And, of course, he was with Sacktown Sports before we were Sacktown Sports. The great Sean Cunningham joining us. How are you, Sean?
Great.
The great Sean Cunningham.
Wow.
He's everywhere.
That is outstanding. I am feeling really good. Maybe part of it is because this homestand is coming to a little bit of an end. There's only three games. But I could be on it. With all the other stuff that we cover over Fox 40, I'm kind of looking forward to the Kings kind of getting out of town for a few days.
Wow.
You know what's so interesting about Sean, like, and Whitey, we are in the presence of greatness. For this guy to actually give us a few minutes of his time, he's everywhere. I see him at high school football. I see him at King's Shoot Around. He's at all the games. Dude, when do you rest?
Not much, and I go out damn near every night, so it's, I'm in these streets. So it's a lot of, yeah, absolutely.
Hit your boy up, man.
Yeah, I was telling a story on a podcast the other night where I was like, who knew? I'm from Sacramento. I grew up here, and who knew Sacramento had this little reggae scene that lasts till 5 in the morning? I'm like, what am I doing?
Dog, I'm going to give you my number.
Yeah, I got you.
Seriously.
Got you. We're going to hang.
You're at Shoot Around today. You're everywhere. Yeah. So how did De'Aaron Fox look today? Did you notice him favoring his injury at all? What can you tell us about how likely he is to play tonight?
No, I mean, I thought he looked very spry, and this is coming off of a practice. He finally went 5-on-5 on Sunday, and seeing him on Sunday and kind of combining it from what we saw at Shoot Around today, which really wasn't much, but he's
right.
Cutting all over the place and jumping around, and he's in super good spirits, and I think you can see it in the video I tweeted, but also, like, talking to a lot of people who've seen him over the past few days, they kind of think that there's a really good chance, and obviously he's been upgraded to questionable. We'll probably get word here maybe before Mike Brown talks at 5:15 if he's ready to go or not. But if I'm Mike Brown, I might be like, you know what, JB Bickerstaff, I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
You know what, let's just hold off a little
game
bit.
Time decision.
Yeah, they'll do the, well, let's just see him warm up with Domas and see how he feels, and all the while know that he's probably going to give it a go. If I was to bet, I think he's going to give it a go. But I've been wrong before.
You know, and let's say he does go, based on what you saw at practice and shoot around, how much should we expect from him tonight?
Well, I don't think they'll – when it comes to De'Aaron, and especially for the way he treats his own game, I don't think if he feels he can't go out there and be the De'Aaron Fox we all know and love, then I don't think he'll go. I think it's that – they'll be that cautious with him, and sometimes they have to hold him back a little bit. I think if he goes tonight, you're going to see extended minutes for him. I don't know that there will be a quote-unquote minutes restriction for him. But that's only because you know who the player is. Mike Brown will always put a player through contact and full practice and a shoot around before he brings a guy back. So if they get through those stages, and it's only been 5 games, De'Aaron said about 5 days after the fact that like the pain was pretty much gone at that point. It's really just impact and cutting and all that stuff. So I think I wouldn't expect a minute restriction at all from him.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of talk, speculation about, well, is he coming back because of who they're playing or minutes restriction? I have to think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I have to think that he's so valuable to them that he was going to play whenever he was 100% healthy, period. That was the only determining factor. If he's playing tonight, they have reason to believe he is.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, I know a lot of people speculate too now with all the how awards are given out at the end of the year. You have to hit a certain threshold of games, and oh, this, if he stays out a few more games, could impact that. That's not really a consideration from at least what he's told, what he's said, and what other people have said. So, I think they're just going to trust the player, and sometimes you have to put a little restriction on that player and say, we got to save you from yourself.
Protect him from himself. Yeah, absolutely.
But Sean, I don't think it'll be the case.
Sean, here we are. You know, De'Aaron's missed 5 games. They're 4-4. How would you grade what they've accomplished so far, where they stand right now?
I think coming off of Oklahoma City, where Mike Brown has talked about how, you know, all the improvements and all the focus on physicality and how it really kind of came to a crescendo in terms of the best we've seen and through an 8-game stretch and really a preseason as well. I think because of that, it's a lot better than when I looked at it coming off of the Houston game. And obviously, look, Houston being a different Houston team than maybe people maybe thought they would be when the Kings went into Houston for those first 2 games. Now they're on this big winning streak and now just taking down the likes of like Denver. I mean, this is I think it helps stomach that a little bit better. My only concern is, look, you already know you're a bad defensive team, and anything you can do to bring yourself up from the doldrums of the NBA to maybe middle of the road would be such a great improvement. And Mike even talked about doing that and adding physicality and how physicality plays a role in trying to what that'll do to your pace. It could slow you down. So he went from an all-time scoring record type team last year.
Yeah.
And if you come down a few notches, that's okay. But losing a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who is an all-star and who is somebody you depend on for everything. Last year, they did a few games without De'Aaron and they didn't lose their identity. They didn't lose that fast-paced team. That was surprising to me. So I feel like some tough conversations, as Domantas Sabonis calls them, and be it a team meeting or adjusting of the offense a little bit. I've liked what I've seen really from the Portland game, even though, you know, they were without some personnel in that game, and I think that was a tough one for people to swallow, them coming away with an overtime win. But I liked what I saw offensively from them. I liked that I saw what I saw in the Oklahoma City game, even coupled with that physicality, and them really trying to figure out and worked their way through some struggling with some shooting. I mean, the shooting woes have been well
terrible.
Documented.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's certainly going to hurt your pace when you miss shots. So I like what this is leading to. I like the fact that this bodes well for tonight. The Cavaliers, a long, athletic team, and you're coming off your best showing as a physical team or a physical presence and what you've been able to work upon. This is the perfect test to put that challenge to.
Fox 40's Sean Cunningham is with us here, courtside from the Golden One Center. Yeah, this morning I got up and I checked the Kings, you know, the numbers, and Basketball Reference had them in defensive rating 14th, and I thought I was hallucinating or something. What did you put in my cereal? But, yeah, here they are. I want to ask you to change it up a little bit because you talked to so many players. I know you had an interesting conversation with Sasha, which I think we'll get to here. But of all the guys on this team, who is your favorite to interview?
Malik Monk. 100%. And that's somebody who likes to dish it back. Look, we're only going into our second season with Malik. I think I interviewed him maybe twice before that as a visiting player. And having him here in Sacramento, his electric personality, I know how important he is to this team. I hear from Fox all the time. People sometimes push back when I say he's the most important player on this team because they go the way he goes oftentimes. If he's not on, they struggle to win. Obviously, they're a winning team that finished third in the West last year, but it's a lot prettier when he's on. And when it's on, they're having a lot of fun, and he needs to have fun. And so I love what he does with that second unit. I love the two-man game he has with Domantas Sabonis, and obviously the familiarity with his best friend in De'Aaron Fox. But just what a personality. And I love that you can ask him a question, and I always say I'll ask dumb questions all the time. A really dumb question can bring out a brilliant response, so I'm not offended when my questions are stupid, but I like that he pushes back a little bit, and just what a guy.
The thing about Malik, you know, to your point, Sean, is no matter what, he's always Malik.
Right.
You know, whether he's on the court, being interviewed, you see him walking down the street, he's going to be who he is. You know, with De'Aaron possibly coming back tonight, hopefully, what does that do with Keon Ellis? You know, because he's gotten to start the last couple of games. I thought he was fantastic, obviously, in the Portland game. And even in OKC, his defense, especially early on Shea, I thought was a key. What's Keon's role, I guess, when De'Aaron comes back?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I don't think we're going to really envision right away him going to where he's playing no minutes.
Right, okay.
And I think he's going to be rewarded for some of the efforts that he's had because the last two games, really, even if you say, okay, he struggled to shoot the ball, he impacted the game in such a positive way. And he's kept that foot on the gas every single time that he's out there, and he's been brilliant on the defensive end. So what I envision there is, hey, Chris Duarte, he's taking some of your minutes a little bit. And Colby Jones, who's had a little bit of opportunity early on in the season, some of those minutes might now go to Keon for a little bit. But make no mistake, I think we'll see rotationally games where Keon doesn't play again. But at the same time, I mean, he's grown leaps and bounds. Yes. And they've got utmost confidence in him. To see the confidence that some of his teammates have in him and Domas always being in his ear is certainly encouraging to see.
Sean Cunningham from Fox 40 with us. I know you talked to Sasha about this. Is he aware that his follow-through has become a cultural phenomenon?
He said he was. I'm glad he acknowledged it because, like, I had seen a few and I was trying to bring up a few to even possibly show him in case he said no. He said he was aware and then he wanted to get the hell out of there. He didn't want to talk about it. But since posting the video today, I've had a lot of people shoot me some stuff. And my favorite one I think I saw recently, and I hope I can show the
chat
here.
For those who don't know, he holds the follow-through with his left hand and then with the right hand, it looks like he's got a bow and arrow, right?
Yeah, it looks like a sniper. People have compared him to the Marvel character, the Archer, right? So I'm showing this one here.
Hawkeye, yeah.
But I'm going to show you this one. This might be my favorite, and I hope the chat can pick this up. This is beer pong with De'Aaron Fox and Sasha Vezenkov.
Is that a real picture?
Out. No, of course not.
Oh, I was about to say, like, what the heck?
I don't know if they can see that. Let's hope I don't get a questionable text while I show the that was sent on my mention. So that was one of my favorite ones.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Be nice if he could keep it going tonight.
It would be. And how about this? Mike Brown could be, with a win, 400 wins against the team that gave him his first head coaching opportunity.
Yeah, look at you.
400 wins. Is that back in 2005? I have to double check.
Yeah, 05, 06? Yeah. Yeah, that would be huge. What's the key tonight, you think?
Just look like you did. Look like don't run in mud and right. Don't wilt to the physicality because I think a lot of times these are the teams that really give the Kings fits. It doesn't matter what players they have out there. If they get smacked in the mouth, sometimes they tend to wilt.
Right.
And I hate seeing that. I know Kings fans hate seeing that. So
you trotting out to Triple Towers tonight? I guess.
Who would the, oh man, you know what? Might not be
kidding.
A bad idea.
Just powers. Just All right,
man.
Sean, thank you for coming by, man.
You got to get to work,
appreciate
right?
You. Yeah.
Y'all got any more live shots you about to do or
oh,
anything
we got
like that?
Plenty. We got plenty. Two more.
Two more. Lucky you. Lucky.
All right. From Fox 40, of course, the great. And he
Hold
is.
Up. Do I follow Sean on social media? I might not even follow him. That's my bet. No, I'm sure I follow you, man. I'm joking with you. I'm messing with you.
Guess who?
I don't follow Whitey.
Guess who Kyle Draper is, the only person who follows his mom is?
Whitey Gleason.
Dog, stop right. that. Well, stop bringing up my mom.
Number right? two. I'll be on
yeah.
that.
Oh, my God. What is going on?
Yes.
Dude, you know she listens to the show.
Mrs. Draper, how are you?
Yeah. You're like,
She's,
yeah, I'm a follower
no question.
Too. Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Oh, we take
I can learn
it
from
We come right back here with this question. Where do you stand on the Keegan versus Monk dunk debate? Next year from the Golden One Center, Drive Guys on Sacktown Sport. Is that true, Kyle Draper? And it's fine if it is. You don't follow me on Twitter? It's fine if it's true.
I think I blocked you, actually, after you talked about my mom last show.
I'm
like,
trying
dude,
to be
man.
Nice. I try to do something nice for, you know, Mrs. Draper. I was flattered that she followed
How
me.
How you like, follow her and I don't even follow her?
I don't know. That's between... you know, you and her and Selena. I don't know.
Yeah,
the three of you
Selena.
Sort
I
that out.
Selena, I'll tell you that. No, I'm just...
The reason
Selena,
I ask,
I love you. I love
yeah,
you.
There's a guy, and he's a friend of mine, but I was on the air with him one time a couple years ago, and he was telling people, you know, oh, follow me on Twitter and follow Whitey Gleason on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I happened to notice this guy didn't follow me, so I called him out on the air. I was like, wait, how can you tell people to follow me when you don't? And he's like,
see what happened. I'll tell you
so
what.
So I'd rather though. you say, I don't follow. I'd rather you do that than say, oh, yeah, yeah, and then not follow.
And then not actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at the YouTube chat. Compio says, I follow Kyle's mom. Is that where we're at right now? Everybody just going to start chiming in on, you know, following my mom, man.
I don't know why
we
you're
should.
Trying to make it something that's not,
you,
you
know what
nice
we should do?
And respectful.
We should get her like 10,000
yes.
followers.
It's a, yes, we
you
should.
Know, that'd be amazing.
Well, if she would like that, would it bother her?
I don't
or
know.
Would
you, I haven't yeah. even talked to her about it. You know, she doesn't bring you up.
Okay.
You know, I know
well,
that's
fine.
Hard to leave.
No,
Whitey, but
it's fine. If she likes, great. And if she's like, for any reason, like, yeah, I don't really care for that, then I will unfollow. I'm not going to unfollow at the risk of, you know, some people can be insulted by
If
that,
you unfollow, so. She might text me, hey, why did Whitey unfollow?
Yes, yeah, so.
Leave
yeah.
it as is, big fella. Leave
right.
it as is.
Yeah, I think we're good.
It's
I
like
good.
Kim Kardashian. Doesn't she follow, like, one person or something like that? She used
I don't
to,
know.
She used to follow only Kanye West or something like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
You're like the reverse of that.
Yeah.
You know, my mom only has one follower, and it's you.
There's some, is a Joey Bats. The baseball player,
yeah.
he would follow, like, he would, you follow him, he would follow you back. He's an automatic
really?
Follow back.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I think there's somebody, Drew Gooden was like that for a while.
Drew Gooden?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Anyway, it's a privilege to have your mom as one of my
followers. Oh, my God.
I appreciate that. One of the in-house debates now going on with the Kings. It started Friday night when Keegan Murray threw down the dunk, which we'll have for you in just a second. Which was the better dunk this year, the Keegan dunk over Chet Holmgren or the opening night in Utah Malik Monk throwdown?
This is a great debate.
Do you want to hear him before you
Yeah, let
weigh
me
in?
Hear him first. Let me
All
hear
right.
him first.
All right. First we have, and I think we, well, Jay, we have the, if we have the Monk, yeah. Do we have Monk or do we just have Keegan right now? Okay, let's start. Thank you. Let's start opening night. This was Malik Monk in Utah.
Here's a Fox steal. Got a breakaway coming up for Sacramento. Chased by Dunn. Drops it to Monk. Hammer time thrown down by Malik Monk. That's as good as it gets for Sacramento in transition. Fox with the steal. His former Wildcat collegiate teammate at the University of Kentucky, Malik Monk, with a big-time hammer to make it 102-82. Biggest lead of the ballgame.
A great call.
Great call.
A great dunk. Yeah. And then we had just Friday night over Chet Holmgren. What'd you call it, the little rocker step from Keegan?
Little yeah,
rocker
just step. A little,
and then, yeah, yeah, and then this was the dunk from Keegan.
Sabonis gives to Herter. Herter, one dribble, left wing to Barnes, back to Sabonis, top of the foul circle. Drops to Herter, throws a crazy pass to the right wing, but saved from going out of bounds by Keegan. Keegan off the drive to the basket with a rip with the right hand. He threw that one down, and people popped right out of their seats on their feet. Keegan has 10. Kings lead 51-42. Here comes Josh Giddey with a drive.
Yeah.
Lost the ball, and a loose ball foul is going to be called on Giddey.
Yeah, thank you, Jay, for getting those ready for us. So which way do you go on that?
That's a good one.
Is this something they're talking about, you know, in the locker room?
I think I'm going to go Keegan.
I totally disagree with you.
I'm going to go Keegan, and here's why. See, Whitey, what Malik did, it was great. It was fantastic. It was impactful. We felt that. But Keegan went through traffic. Keegan shook the initial defender, put it on the deck, and then got – Malik Monk was in transition, and you know, Chris Dunn was late turning around. I mean, it was a great dunk. But give me Keegan because of who he is, the statement that it made. He's known as just a three-point shooter. He had a little wiggle to his jiggle. Like, give me Keegan Murray's dunk.
Well, to each his own. They're both tremendous dunks. To me, who he is should have nothing to do with judging a dunk.
What?
Zero.
So hold on.
Like, one of the great dunks in Kings history was Ronnie Price. Well, who's Ronnie Price? I don't care.
Exactly.
It was a great
dunk. That's right.
Dunk.
Who's Ronnie Price? But he dunked. Spud Webb beat Dominique Wilkins in a dunk contest.
Right.
You know why? Because he was Spud Webb. If he was 6'5", Spud Webb, he wouldn't have won. Because it was so out of the ordinary. What we saw from Keegan was so out of character. Sure, we've seen him dunk before, but to do a little jab step, and then, come on, man.
But you're making it sound like he weaved his way through three players and jumped over two. He had a very nice jab step, which and then he got open, and then it was right to the cup. And it was great. Monk was done, you say? Dunn was right on him, and this is what Malik has said when he's been asked about this. He said his dunk was body to body, and it was a monstrous throwdown. And it was Keegan's was great, and it was like, boom, wow, there you go.
But
Malik's dunk was like,
hungry.
I am stealing your heart from your chest and holding, still beating in front of your eyes. I'm also stealing your soul. It was a better dunk.
Hey, can somebody tweet me my version of those two dunks? I need to talk to Jay Johnson.
That's a great.
You know I'm on the play-by-play too.
That's
you know that right? And it's my show.
We're the
and
home
I gotta hear G-Man.
But that's because what station are you on?
All right.
I mean, you are on Sackdown Sports.
That upset me a little bit, Whitey. I'm just saying.
I think we have the Malik one somewhere because you know, in a lot of your calls, they delete them right away the next day.
Right. But I got a 2-hour shelf life, right?
That's right. Delete. No, I believe we heard the Monk one the next day. But, you know, the G-Man's because
legend.
It's a Sacktown.
No, no, it's a legend. Yeah. Because I'm trying to remember
that is
my
a good
reaction.
Point, though.
I'm like, hold on.
I didn't even think.
No offense to G-Man, but it's like, man, this is the best call of those two dunks you'll ever hear. And I'm sitting over here in the corner like, dang, is that how my station does me? Like, Jay Johnson, we're supposed to be an all-in-us
We're not
together.
On NBC Sports California
Simone,
right
but
now,
you got
okay?
Drapes, baby. It's called Synergy.
Uh-huh.
It's called – we use some of G-Man stuff on TV.
Yeah.
Come on now. I'm offended.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we can get those.
Jess is like, why is Drapes yelling? Jess in the YouTube chat, you don't know who I am. I'm always yelling. I'm yelling when I wake up, man.
But that's interesting. You realize that you were losing the battle on the dunk, so you decided, I'm going to go a whole different way on this because I'm getting my tail kicked here a little bit.
That's an old-school tactic, right? When you're losing the argument, pivot left and switch it into a different argument.
They both were great, and it is great that the two of them are. But who has the bet this year? Isn't it between Fox and Monk?
Fox and Keegan.
Fox and Keegan. Okay.
Yes,
Fox so Malik's not even part of that.
Yeah, Malik's not. They didn't want Malik to be a part of that because he's notorious for some of his dunks. And so we just threw a poll up on the YouTube chat. Head on over there right now. Sacktown Sports 1140 on YouTube. Which dunk was more spectacular? Was it Malik's or Keegan?
No, it was Malik's.
Is there a right answer?
Yeah, I think there was. That's saying a lot because they were both great. But to me, Malik's was that much more impactful. That was like a whoa.
I just made my vote.
Okay, fair enough. Keegan's like, that was great. And Malik's just resonated on a more visceral level. That's what I'd go with because that was like a wow. That was that got you right down to the core. But two great dunks.
Yeah, exactly. And
Kyle's calls, as I don't have to tell you, they were. Man, I will never forget them.
I tell you, with friends like Whitey, who needs enemies, right? You
know? No, we'll get to. We wanted to save that. Save that for you. Yeah. But really, those were great.
No, they were great dunks, and I thank you. I appreciate that. And you know, in G-Man too, like when you have those kind of plays, and something I guess I don't know if I need to work on or try to learn, but I lose all professionalism. I become a fan.
I don't think that's bad.
Yeah, I'm the guy on the couch. If Malik's dunking, I'm out of my seat, you know? And so both those dunks, they brought you out of your seat. It was like, wow, the two best dunks. Hey, and don't forget, Domas had a dunk, too.
I know. It's funny. I was thinking that. Yeah. He had some great dunks, but they're just, you know, he's always standing there.
Yep. Yeah.
These were like, look out. Oh, we take a timeout here. So how's the poll going?
I'll get the results.
All right.
Coming
we'll get
up
the results
you.
Here. Vote early. Vote often.
What do you say?
What was that, Jay?
Did say in my ear? Keep going.
All right. When we come back here, well, we'll get to that in just a second here. Because we're –
It's close.
Is it close?
Yeah, don't look.
Why not?
59-41 Malik Monk right now.
Okay. All right.
But
very
my people
early.
Will vote.
Very early.
Yes.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Want to cast a vote? Go to our YouTube page. And when we come right back here, we'll take a look at Kings have won two straight. What do they have to do better tonight to keep the beam lit? That and more when we come right back here to the Golden One Center on this glorious night for Kings basketball at Sactown Sports.